Grace be unto you who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Amen. This morning we meditate upon the entire letter of Jude, which we read moments ago as our epistle lesson. Due to its length, we'll take it verse by verse. Follow along in the bulletin, please. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who is the one Savior of humankind, dear fellow believers, called, sanctified, and preserved in Him. Have you ever accidentally read someone else's mail? You came back with a pile from the mailbox and sat down at the kitchen table and opened it up, and before you really paid attention, you realized it wasn't addressed to you. Oops. Better close it back up and put it in the mailbox. Do you feel that way when you read certain books of the Bible? Words like these: Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Do you feel like we're reading someone else's mail? Well, you shouldn't. Because this is addressed to every believer, to all those who have been invited to believe in Jesus, have been separated from sin and dedicated to God, and kept in faith in Jesus Christ. These words are as much addressed to you as they were when first written to someone else. And so we will read on, and we will be told to fight the good fight. God the Holy Spirit warns us about false teachers and false teaching, helping us to recognize them both. He encourages us to remember the Word, to strengthen our faith in God's love. He finally urges us to have mercy upon others who stumble along the way. But we begin with the encouragement that's found in the closing verses. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We live in an age of political correctness and in a society that believes that truth is subjective. By that I mean our society believes that truth is subjective. In other words, whatever you believe to be true is true for you, even if it can be proven incorrect or patently false. Consequently, in our world today, it's considered improper to suggest that your God is the right God and that someone else's God is an idol or a figment of their imagination. So turns the fallen world we live in. On the other hand, our Creator God speaks to us in the Bible and proclaims the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Almighty isn't interested in stroking the ego, the psyche, or the fallen self-esteem of false teachers or proponents of false religions. Our God is interested in saving sinners from falsehood, from sin, and ultimately from eternal death. And so the Spirit of God makes it clear in this very short letter of Jude that there's truth and there's falsehood, black and white. We are to cling to the truth and beware of the false. In fact, we are to fight for the faith, the truths that have been delivered to the saints, to believers, in Holy Scripture. Verses 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. While Jude was prepared to write about our common salvation, common because we share it, but truly uncommon in this world, the Holy Spirit instead urged him to remind us to contend for the faith, the content of the message that has been delivered to believers in the Scriptures, so that it is not lost or twisted. In this case, the word faith is used objectively of the content of what we believe, rather than subjectively of our individual confidence in it. Why are we to fight the good fight? Because our enemy has infiltrated our ranks. False teachers, he says, have crept into the visible church on earth. There are those who do not believe, but actually deny the Lord God and the Savior Jesus in their hearts and by their actions. For example, even today, those who deny any of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, be it God the Father, that Jesus is God, or the Holy Spirit, have rejected God as he reveals himself in his word. There are people in this world who claim to be believers, but really don't. And that's why we're warned. Because these are people parading as Christians, but who turn the grace of God into an opportunity to live openly sinful lives. It's as Jesus said in our gospel lesson, by their fruits, by their actions, you will know or recognize them. Now in this brief letter, Jude describes them in detail so that we may recognize them. Let's start with verses 8 and 10. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. They speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. We might say it like this: for them, there is nothing sacred, nothing pure. They defile the flesh, or they defile their own bodies, being carried away into all manner of perversion. Even today, some who call themselves Christians approve of what God calls sin, and even go far enough to promote it. Think of it, in our lifetime, the liberal wing of the Lutheran Church has gone from opposing sin to ordaining leaders who are openly practicing sin. It's just like Jude says here, what they know naturally, they pervert like mindless animals. They reject authority, both spiritual and secular. If people are taught to suspect, to question, to ridicule, to despise human authority, how will they respond to God's authority that put those people in positions of honor and glory? They speak evil of dignitaries. Literally, they blaspheme glories. Think of angels. There are actually colleges in Christian, or classrooms in Christian colleges today, where they ridicule the idea of angels, of miracles, of God calling the universe into existence by a word. When these sacred glories are emptied of their meaning, then hell only becomes a word to strengthen a curse. Verses 16 and 19. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. They're not satisfied, not even in popularity. They are called grumblers and complainers. They have what they need and yet still grumble. They're complainers finding fault with everyone and everything except themselves. People with whom nothing is right and everything is wrong. They follow their own desires instead of God's will. They speak great swelling words about themselves. They flatter people to gain advantage. And they're caught in sexual sin and cause divisions among believers. What's more, the Holy Spirit also compares them to dangerous things, to empty things, and to worthless things. Verses 12 and 13. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In the first century, Christians gathered together for a regular potluck meal. But it wasn't called a potluck meal like it was here, like it is here, or in the South, a covered dish meal. It was called a love feast, literally an agape feast. These false teachers and unbelievers, of which the Holy Spirit warned, were not strangers to them. They were people that sat next to them in the potluck meal and ate with them, but served themselves. And the Holy Spirit describes them as stains, or the word could also mean hidden reefs in their potluck meals. They didn't know they were there, but they were. The Spirit compared them to clouds being carried by the winds that didn't produce rain, empty and without benefit to anyone else. He called them late autumn trees, twice dead. Twice dead because they didn't produce fruit as unbelievers, and their roots did not lead to Christ. Spiritually dead already. They were like blustery waves making noise, but of no consequence. Like wandering stars who would eventually go out, be lost in darkness. But be assured, as Jude tells us, these false teachers and unbelievers then and now will be judged unless they are moved to repent and believe. The Holy Spirit said that they would be judged as had been the unbelieving out of Egypt, the angels who disobeyed God, and those who gave themselves over to perversion in Sodom and Gomorrah. They would meet the same end, he says, as Cain, Balaam, and the sons of Korah. But we aren't told these things so that we feel secure in our padded pews, but that we beware of and consider the consequences of turning from Christ. False teachers are so described that we remember that though the outward show is great and the words are loud and many flock to them, their message, if in conflict with God's word, is without power to save. We are not only warned, but we are also urged urgently to fight to keep hold of the truth. We are to be sober when it comes to our faith in Christ. We are to let nothing get between us and Him. In this brief letter of Jude, each portion of encouragement begins with the words, "But you, beloved." Verse 17. "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Having warned about the false teachers and having described them, the Holy Spirit reminds us where our strength and our weaponry is to be found, in the Word of God. Remember, he says, don't forget the saying spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these particular words, even or nearly, are word for word a quote of the Apostle Peter, who said in his second letter, "Know this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" When we are in the Word regularly and remember God's warnings and, even more importantly, his promises, we are equipped to recognize and to turn away from false teachers and false teachings, But if we're distracted from that word, or imagine that we know everything that we need to, we've heard it before, then the opposite may be true. If we continue in the word, then our life with God and our faith with Him will be maintained. Verses 20 and 21. The second encouragement, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let's think of ourselves as an unfinished but ongoing building project. God has planted the seed of faith in our hearts, made us spiritually alive. He continues to strengthen our faith through word and sacrament. He has given us the Holy Spirit, and He expects that our lives will mature and we will bear fruit that glorifies Him, not ourselves. God the Holy Spirit calls upon us to do what we can to keep building up our most holy faith, holy because it's united to Jesus. We are to pray in connection with the Holy Spirit that we may be kept in the love of God and looking for the mercy that's coming to us at His return. We are not only, however, to think of ourselves, but also to have compassion on those who fall along the way. Verses 22 and 23. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Remember, our Savior God would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And yes, that even includes our enemies. That includes false teachers and those who fall into the gravest of sins. But as we reach out with a hand to help, Jude says we should watch out, lest we ourselves be tempted to sin. The Apostle Paul said something like that in Galatians 6. He said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We are to have mercy, while at the same time being repulsed even by the clothing and the trappings of sin. So fight the good fight, fellow Christians. Jude helps us to see that that means recognizing that there's truth and falsehood and knowing the difference from the Scriptures. It means watching out for false teachers, recognizing them by both their words and by their actions. It means taking up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to daily do battle with Satan and our own sinful natures. It means building up our faith, that we are equipped to help those who stumble without stumbling ourselves. May God help us to be on our guard and at work strengthening our faith to that end. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.